Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask you to continue to bathe us in your presence. Oh, for you are here today in this place and in our hearts. Continue, Lord, to fill us to capacity as your temples, Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Set this land and the hearts of the people on fire, Lord. Set us on fire. And let your Spirit run throughout this land. Let no darkened nook, nor cranny, nor cavern, nor crevice be without the light of God on this rock in the great Atlantic Ocean. And may it spread across the waters. Oh, and even follow and come with me back home. In Jesus' name, Father, I just surrender to you this morning again. I just desire to be one thing, and that's an instrument in your hands. Take me, oh Lord, and use me in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Struggle. With many words God has given me that would be good to bless you with. So before I begin, I got to ask you a question. How hungry are you?
Mm-hmm.
How hungry are you?
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Well, the Lord wants to serve you like us Americans eat. You see, we like a good hamburger. But a hamburger comes in one patty on it. Big guys like me, we get, you know, we need several of those. We order a double. There's even men I run with that a double won't satisfy their hunger, and it takes a triple decker. Well, the Lord said he's given me a triple decker. I sat right there and got it this morning to take three messages and make them one.
Hallelujah.
So if you're ready, we're going to go on a long journey to the highway of heaven.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. When asked to come this time, I was asked, and Brother Brian, what do you want us to pray for? What instruction do you give us as your support and prayer team and pray over Scotland and what you're doing? Woo! I always get what I ask for. Woo! Last trip here in February was like a great honeymoon, you see. I had a couple of great weeks. It was glorious. And I'd asked them for favor times three. Favor, favor, favor. And the Lord blessed me. Every step I took last trip here was in God's favor. But if you understand what favor is, it is truly the love of God. There's no greater favor than having the love of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This time I was asked, what would you choose? And I said, the Lord had already spoken to me, and he has just compounded it the whole time here. Confirmations. And I said, I asked for favor, fervor, and fire. That's what I believe God wants me to have upon me and take to you as a people. So we're going to start with the first patty of this hamburger. You're going to get Americanized sermon this morning. And we're going to discuss love, because love is the true favor of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you'll turn with me to 1 John. And this is pretty much completely off the cuff as I follow the Lord's leading. So know this. I've not got a manuscript in front of me. This is God speaking through me to you and to you and to you. And, you know, like any good meal, if you don't like the tomato, eat it anyway. Hallelujah. We find in the 1 John chapter 4, there's a section here of great importance to speak to us about the subject of love, beginning in verse 7. We'll stop in 21. And I've counted and highlighted in my Bible this particular subject, and it's mentioned 27 times in these scriptures, the word love. That's just this part. And I could preach for hours on love. I've got a message that God gave me. I thought that was all I was going to share, was about the favor this morning, but that's, you're going to get a lot more. So beginning here, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Well, we see right off the bat that we're being told here by John, the relationship with God is love. And, you know, I look around me and among the people of this land, and there has become some obscure, misinterpreted reflection of God in your land. And he's seen as a big, mean father who carries a very large whipping stick, and he's all about correcting you constantly and making you feel as if you're under condemnation. That is not the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That is not the Spirit of the living God. Because his favor is his love.
Hallelujah.
Oh, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. He that loveth him not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
Oh, my beloved friends. God's love gave me breath. God's love gave me a rebirth. Yeah. God's love restored me when my body failed me. God restored me when I made mistakes and wrong choices.
Oh, yeah.
God's love is something that is so powerful, it moves everything in its atmosphere. Love spans and everything else has to leave. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think about the sacrifice of Abraham, his only son Isaac, the prelude to who Jesus would be to the Heavenly Father. And here he is. And Abraham has to take his son, this one son given to him of old age, truly between him and his spouse, and Sarah. And so he takes this child to the mountaintop and prepares to be obedient at all cost, you see. That's who we need to be in Christ at all cost, you see. That's where the love is at. The love is the understanding that when God asks, you can trust God no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what it is.
Amen.
We can do it because he has loved us first. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Abraham was eased of his pain and suffering of offering this child. And God supplied a ram, a lamb, a picture of the Christ to come. I think of the Heavenly Father and the pain and suffering in heaven to have to turn his head when the Savior hung up on the cross, his son for us. Oh, I think of my only son. His name is Joshua. And you know, I think about when he was little and what a blessing as I would come home from long working days. And I remember parking in my garage and there's a door into the living area. And mother would hear me pulling in and she would tell the children, he was tiny. He was still in diapers. And I'll never forget one of my most precious memories of a son that I love so much. And I'd open that door to the den and out around the corner of a couch and head down and middle thing, all four on the ground just to get it in a diaper, coming to me, coming to his daddy, coming there to the door. And then he just stopped and flung himself up and said, Dad, melt my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to ever lose that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you think about Jesus and the Father. Hey, I'll tell you what, friends. I have a new love here, and my love for you through Christ. But I got to tell you something. I'm not sure I could give up my only son for you. I'm not sure I could turn my head while he was crucified and mistreated and abused. And yet I came during the holidays, and God has challenged me to come. And I even told my wife, I'm just now remembering it, the only one I was concerned of being away from for the holidays was my son. But I know this. When I go home, I'm going to get to see him again. And he's taller and bigger than I am. And he won't be saying, Dad, 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 Dad. But he'll lean down and give me a big hug when I see him and tell me face to face how much he loves me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You'll have to excuse me. I'm going to be getting after it. No shame. Hallelujah. Tears and cry and peat dust. Hallelujah. And so the Bible teaches us about the compassion and passion of God and His love for us, that He gave His only begotten Son. And the instructions here that God is love. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, verse 9, it was manifested that he loved the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten. Here it is. There's your John 3:16 right here in this text. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Brother Joe, you could probably share on that for a day or two, couldn't you, brother? For our sins. That's atonement, you see. He covered it. He paid a bill we owed that we couldn't pay ourselves. Hallelujah. And he paid it in full. You know, it amazes me. You know, this has got to be every one of you sermon in this land to educate people that God didn't do it a partial job. He didn't do a halfway job. He didn't leave anything undone. He didn't do anything that was just a little bit. You see, God did it all. And he took care of every sin. All the sins that you have committed, and even the sins that you may stumble and fall to in your future. For no man is perfect. That's why we needed the Savior. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And you know, people in this land need to understand that God loved them. And loved them in spite of their shortcomings. And loves them in spite of their faults. And loves them so much that they don't have to walk through this life under condemnation. Right. Under the devil. Hallelujah. Get you some of that. Get loose from that. Hey, I'm not even supposed to do this. But God, powerful statement. But God, I'll tell you, if you give God room to come into your life, but God, he'll move it. He'll move those problems. He'll forgive those problems. He'll get you in a new place. He don't want to leave you where you land supper. He don't want to leave you in a place you're under distress. He doesn't want your loved ones being lost and dying and hurting, thinking that their sin is too big for God. I tell you the truth, my God is a big God. There's no sin too big for him. Woo! He's got love that will wash every sin, every difficulty, every problem away. Man, I love God. And he loved me way more than I even understand. And I challenge him once in a while, why do you put up with me? Hallelujah. Because he loves me.
Amen.
Just that simple. That's favor. And you're to have that favor because it belongs to you and me and everyone else who doesn't recognize it, whether they recognize it out here around you or whether the mainland, if they even have a clue, they've got the same offer, favor of love.
Yes, hallelujah.
Favor of love that surpasses, I mean, it just, you can't bring a problem bigger than God's love. You can load up a truck, brother, and haul stuff over the island, but you can dump that stuff and fill it up with people's problems, and that's a little truck, ain't it? Huh? Amen. And you take the ferry that takes people back and forth from across the mainland, and it's a big boat. I've seen it. That's a big boat. And you can fill it with all the problems and people's difficulties. And it's such a tiny little boat. You know? But God can take care of that. You ever seen super tankers? Yeah. Woo! How about an aircraft carrier? Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd be in awe if you stood next to a U.S. aircraft carrier sitting in a bay. You'd go, my goodness, that's a whole city. A city on the water. You can fill it up with every problem imaginable, and it's a little bitty boat.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, it'll float just like the old little yellow rubber ducky in the bathtub that God does. I mean, it's God's power is so much bigger. Hallelujah. And so we go on down the script, and we see here, verse 11 says, "But beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." And that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get God's favor and you realize I am loved, woo, I'm forgiven, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with His glory, I'm a temple of the living God, and you start believing all that's said of you, see, man, you need to be giving that stuff away.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you're going to have to come to a place that you don't care what they say and think about you.
Amen.
And I know there are people in this room that have lived their lives like that, and you've taken some pretty good hits, and that's okay. God says, keep on doing it.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Keep on doing it. Don't quit now. It's just fixing to get fired up. God is releasing something in your land among the people, His Spirit. He's not that He's doing anything different. He is just unfolding the promises to the answers to prayers from past saints. He's living up to the promises in His Word that He's already made you. And He's a God of prophecy. In other words, speak that which is not as though it were. Call heaven down. Believe for your families to be saved. Believe for the lost sinners in the street. Believe for the homeless and the helpless. Believe for your co-workers that are hurting you. Believe for those trapped in religious spirits and religious places and they have no freedom. Believe and speak that liberty into their life. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
God's speaking it to you. This word, this is your word. Hallelujah. This is your favor. This is our favor. Man, if we were given a manual of hope, we would want it to read just like this. I don't know why you'd reword it. Why would you do it? Why would you even dare to reword what God is already saying? Because He's got, you know what? He's got it. God says, I got this. God says, I got you back.
Oh, glory.
Yeah, brother, that sounds blasphemous. No. No. No, my God loves me. Every once in a while, I have to remind Him, hey, you chose me.
Yeah.
You know, and He says, what are you reminding me of that for? Because I said, I tend to forget, and I want to hear you say it again. You think God's upset with me? I don't think so.
No.
He says, now, Brian, I love you, and you know it. Get back out there and go to work. He loves us so much. He wants to take you to new heights. He wants to take you to new places. He wants you to be seen by the lost and the hurting. Uh-huh. Then remember when you had problems. So be it. Show them what it looks like on the other side of those problems.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
Show them what it looks like to have scars on your body. I got evidence you don't want to see me naked. No, it wouldn't be pretty at all. But I can promise you, I've got scars, but those scars all speak of the glorious God that allowed me the privilege to live and to be restored and to come here and to love you. Oh, it's so easy. Once I got here, because I look around and I see you and I met you and I get to know you. Now the hard part. I'm over there bawling this morning because God said, let him have the whole thing, Brian, because you're leaving. But I don't want to leave. Part of me wants to stay here. He said, doesn't matter. You've got to go home. That's not right, is it? Huh? And in the natural, it don't seem right at all. But here's the good news. You're going to eat a big American triple decker today. And God loves you. The Bible goes on to say, I'll skip down a little. Woo! Okay, verse 16 is awful precious. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and that he dwelleth in love and dwelleth in God and God in him. He's saying, get on the two-way street. Get on the two-way street with God.
Hallelujah.
Because he's wanting to love you coming and a going. Coming and going. He's not leaving anything out. If you're going, he's with you. If you're coming, he's waiting here for you and with you on that journey. Hallelujah. I want a God that travels. I mean, I'd sure hate to be here trying to do this and had left him back in America.
That's right.
Not only did he come with me, but when I got here, I found out he was already here. Surprise, Brian. I'm already here. I thought I was the only one you gave this to. No, Brian. No. Go confirm my love. Go confirm my favor with the people. You should leave here today so energized. Just on favor alone.
Amen.
Just the love of God is your favor. That favor ought to be so rich. That should be such fertile ground. When you're living in the love of God, and the love of God is living through you, wherever you go, love ought to just grow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to run into a demon or two. There's always somebody that's not on the same road traveling with you in Christ. Hallelujah. But the important thing is that you've got it right. Don't let them mislead you and bring you down to low places. Don't have friends in low places. Go ahead and let them go and move on. God's got some new friends in Christ for you if you're in that position. And I want to encourage you. Some people just gnaw away at the goodness of God's love because they can't stand in this place with understanding how much he loves them. It's good to love them to a point, and you can do what you can. But don't let that drag you down. If you're not strong enough for it, put a little space between you. And don't abuse them. Don't mistreat them. Love them kindly. But find your space. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I don't get an amen out of that. I'm going to keep preaching.
Amen.
All right. Moving along. Oh, verse 17. Herein is your love made perfect. Perfect love. Was that like a perfect cake? I had one of those on my birthday while I was here. Yes, I sure did. I didn't know that it was possible, but I found it. It found me, you could say. It was a perfectly made chocolate cake. It just was perfect. If God can allow that, how much more perfect is his love?
Yeah.
Come on now. I know I'm not the only chocolate cake fan in the house. Come on. I mean, God is perfect. He doesn't do it a little bit. He doesn't get the ingredients wrong. A dash and a little pinch. And he makes it and says, here's my love. And he says, I put my son, and he was born into the world. And he lived his life sinless, and he went to the cross, and he went to the tomb, and when he came out, he was perfect in every way. And that makes him the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sheep, the perfect sacrifice. Man, if that's not love, we don't have anything at all to talk about. That's it, in a nutshell. No finer love than that love. Let's jump to verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Friend, you need to get it in your understanding. You're going to have some bad moments, and you might feel badly about what you've done or how you are at the moment, but you need to remember that God loved you first. He's first, and you're never going to take the place of God. You're never going to take first place because that's his seat, and thank goodness it is.
Yeah.
Because you can count on it. It's like a bank account. It's like the riches of heaven right here. He just says, here you go. I loved you first. Come on. No sour pusses allowed.
Amen.
God loved you first, whether you like it or not. You can try to outlove him, but you ain't going to win.
That's right.
You can't. You've won when you just receive his love. You already won. You're already in the victory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What are you attempting to accomplish greater than that?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not building the kingdom and serving him where he leads and guides, you're up to nonsense. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Just follow his directions. If you want the cake to turn out like you want, do you change the recipe, Brother Alistair? Do you?
No.
You make it the same way every time. Hallelujah. Maybe God will send me back for some more. Hallelujah. All right. He says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he, I want to put in the word possibly, love God whom he hath not seen? Friend, if you can't love people here in the natural, if you can't love your brothers, if you can't love others here now in the world, in the natural, if you can't show and be loving and kind to them, you need to do some soul searching, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have hurt them, but you'll say, Brother Brian, you don't understand. You weren't there, and this happened, and that happened. Spit that stuff out.
Yes.
Unload that garbage. Mm-hmm. Take it to the altar. Burn that stuff up. It'll be a sweet fragrance in God's
nostrils.
Hallelujah. Because you see, you can't love God and hate your brother. That's 101. And so you look around and there'll be those and you say, well, it's not that way at all. You don't see it. It's, I feel the hate of others towards me. And they claim that they're my brother. Well, guess what? They have some serious issues because they're stating you, if they can't love you, then they can't be loved and loved of God. Then therefore, they need what you have. When you're mistreated and someone says they don't love you or they hate you or they treat you badly, you should be encouraged. Jesus was treated the same way.
That's right.
Pick up the cross and follow me. There we are, instrument of death. Die, self. Die.
Amen.
You know? And the Bible teaches us that if we're kind and love people back, it's like pouring hot coals on their head.
That's
because
right.
The Holy Spirit begins to work on them. You go, I'm going to find out something meaner to do to that person.
Mm-hmm.
They start planning against you and Satan comes up, the spirits in their life. I'm going to mistreat you more and they're going to try to do this to you. And you know what? The love of God can't be scathed. You walk right into the midst of that with the love of God. And finally, when they grow weary in all their attempts, they'll either flee and leave you alone. Or maybe they'll melt enough to say, how do you put up with me doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Wear them out.
Yeah.
Wear them out.
Amen.
Who's going to outlast them?
Yeah.
Them without God? Or those that have? I guarantee you God's love will persevere. Hallelujah. And this commandment have we from him in the verse 21, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So there you are. Can you say today, Brother Brian, this is your favorite. This is love. This is the first of the three. This is the first hamburger patty. Can you say, Brother Brian, my heart is clear. My mind and my spirit is free. And I love my brothers, and my brothers love me. Or, you know, I love my brothers, but they don't love me. Just be honest with God, and he'll give you the answers. How to handle what you're up against. You see, God loves you so much that he knows when you struggle.
Don't be ashamed that you're struggling. Hallelujah. You have an Abba, Papa Father, and he wants to, well, come here with that. Let me wipe that.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Well, come on. Come up here in my lap. Don't act like a beggar asking for what you need all the time. What is that? He says he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How about calling up? He wants to know your desires of your heart. He wants to know the bigger issues that are going on. You know, because he says, you can ask, but I got it covered. Go sell a couple more head of cattle off the hill. There's 1,000 hills of them. He's not going to miss it. Your needs are met. You hear me? You're saying my needs are met. And I can go to my Father in heaven. And I can ask. And I can have the desires of my heart. Not selfish, but the desires that build his kingdom. Hallelujah. Say
amen.
Tell the Lord thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Let's talk about fervor. I believe what God laid on my heart here today, that fervor, where it comes from, and the baseline for fervor comes from prayer. Boy, I got a mess here. Forgive me for a minute. And we're going to turn to Mark. And then you turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 12. So we've got the love thing figured out. God loved you first, and we're loved by God, and we love him. Amen. Have you got it?
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going for the second patty of this burger today. And we need fervor. And to have fervor, you better have a relationship with God. And there's no greater way to have a relationship with God than 1-800-JESUS. Mm-hmm. Hello? It's prayer. Mm-hmm. Hello, Father.
Yeah.
Your Heavenly Father? Today is the day you may communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it amazes me. People that walk through all the motions of tradition of Christianity and never really have a prayer life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring it home to you today on this second patty. That God is very specific through Jesus' life, his own ministry, to point out something very clear to us. You know, often we think of Jesus, let's just let our minds relax, take a deep breath. Okay? And hear much of a sigh. You're either sitting on the edge of your seat or you're falling asleep on me. What you? So, you know, we think of Jesus all different kind of ways. Some people think of him on the cross. Some think of him as a baby in the manger. Some think of him as a sweet gentleman who is talking and dealing with children right and left. Some people see him on the Sea of Galilee. Some people see him feeding the many and the multitude with fishes and loaves of bread. Some people see him in the synagogue. Some people see him in all different kinds of things. But the one thing that we often do is we always imagine Jesus. I personally can't imagine any way but open palmed. I've never personally seen the backhand of Jesus' hand. Mm-hmm. That, you know, to me, that's an aggressive thing. In my heart, my mind, I've never seen the back of Jesus' hand. Mm-hmm. I always imagine him in his sweetness. And we love his sweetness. Amen?
Yeah.
But what I want to share with you today in this part is that Jesus, there was a day Jesus got mad. He wasn't so tender and loving kind. In fact, it appeared he was quite the extraordinary opposite. He was, ticked off. Wow. Let's find out why. The Bible says in verse 12, chapter 11 of the book of Mark, and on the morrow when they were coming in from Bethany, he was hungry. You see, they left without breakfast that morning. He and the disciples saw a fig tree way off, and there it was, and he came to it happily and didn't find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found it. Nothing but leaves, just had those luscious leaves. And it was a time of figs, was not even yet. But the tree had a green leaves, and it just, its fruit didn't match what Jesus' expectations should be of it, you see. It says that when he got there, he said, he answered and he said, no man eat of this tree hereafter and forevermore. And his disciples heard this and they walk on it. So he curses this tree. Now, the fig tree is can be thought of as two things. It can be thought of as a Christian, as a person, or it can be thought of Israel as a people and a nation. And I say it works for both. The word is rich and deep, but here we're going to concentrate on the personal level. How's that? Okay. Now we move on, and it says they went on into Jerusalem, verse 15. And when they went to the temple, he began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And they were there selling these things, you know. Oh, can't you just hear him? Oh, man, we'll get to that. And he said he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. I mean, the Lord is, he's angry. Mm-hmm. He's angry. And what it is they turn it into a place of merchandise and selling things. And, you know, can't you just hear him? Well, they've got to have some sacrifice. They've got to have a dove or a lamb or whatever they afford. And we're selling that as a service. We're here to be a service, you see. No. Not in God's house, you're not. You see, they were making a profit. They were selling and buying and making a profit in God's house. They turned it into something that Jesus is very clear about. So he says in verse 17, and he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of what?
Prayer.
Prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. A house of prayer. You mean not a house of preaching? Not a house of teaching, not a house of evangelism, not a house of just being merciful to the needy, not a house for all these things that revolve around religiosity and religion and man's interpretation of what. What do you think he means by this? Well, I can tell you what he means. He means exactly what he says. And we can find, if you want to look it up, in Isaiah 56:7, Jeremiah 7:11 will help support this. But he said, my Father's house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus is doing this, and we realize that this particular setting has happened right here at the time of, you know, when he rides the colt. And so it's the end of Jesus' ministry. He cleans this out and cleans the temple. So let's take a look, if you will. Roll over here to John. Where are my speedy notes? I'm losing my direction here, Pastor. I'm sorry. Oop, I lost my note. Oh, there we are. John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we see there's the wedding at Cana. Mm-hmm. And down further, thank you, sweetheart, it says in verse 13 that the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went in Jerusalem, and he found them in the temple again. And they sold oxen and sheep and doves. And the changers of money were sitting in there, and he does it again. He turns it all loose. He turns it all over. He's upset. So we see both at the triumphant entry into his ministry that Jesus does this act of clarifying that God's house is a house of prayer, and he does it again at the wedding of Cana. So beginning and end, you could say that the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man, his own personal ministry was literally bookended with these events. Not just once, but twice. So why would the Son of God, the Son of Man, make such an effort to clarify what his Father's house should be? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's making dadgum sure and well that we know and we see and we realize that it's not to be any of these other things. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to have fervor, you've got to have a prayer life. You've got to have a relationship. And I believe in both personal and corporate. But let's look at the personal. Mm-hmm. The personal side of this is you're a temple.
That's right.
Are you spending your time that you're supposed to be this precious time with God? selling and buying and doing all kinds of stuff, and you're housing the Holy Spirit, and you're the temple of God, is your temple the house of prayer? Now, what about your church? When you're coming together, are you coming to the hour of power? Are you getting in there and rolling up your sleeves and making sure that the next level of God's house is a house of prayer?
Jesus.
Man, if you want fervor, don't go around complaining. Well, God just He just doesn't do this in my life, and I want more. I want more. Quit lying.
Yes.
Because you're only lying to yourself. Anybody that hears you. Because if you want more, you've got to do what it takes. And if you want more fervor, if you want a relationship, hey, roll up your sleeves, get your guns out, get on your knees. There ain't a taller place.
Amen.
There's no taller place than on your knees.
That's right.
And just start petitioning the heavens, because you're a house of prayer. And God does and will hear you, because this is what He's saying here. That's instruction that you take to the bank.
Yes.
If you want the fervor with the favor, the love, commit to prayer. Pray for some loud old yank that comes across the water. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, people back there are praying today, even right now, on your behalf and for us in this service. I'm not here without a backing of people who are in prayer. They're going to throne room for you. They haven't met you. They don't know you. But they know God sent me here, and they've entrusted to send me here. And they know if God has sent me here, then there's a reason for it, and that they need to pray. And you'd be shocked if I went and I challenged them and asked them, how did you pray? What did you pray? It will be shocking to you that God is causing them to read your mail.
Yes.
I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
When my wife and I got first joined up with this last group that we're with, I told her, I said, you better. And I'm just warning you about these people. You need to make sure you get everything off your chest and everything cleaned out of the closet of your life. Rededicate the temple of the house of prayer. Because when you get amongst these people, they're going to read your mail. They're going to hear from the throne room, because they knew this. It's real. It's real, and it ought to be real for you. And if it's not, you should be challenged.
Yes, that's right.
And I'll tell you something. The first time my wife looked at me, she goes, oh, my, I'm so glad you gave me. I said, I'm your covering. I'm supposed to give you instruction. I'm glad you were obedient, apparently. She goes, if I hadn't, have, do you know? And then she shared with her loving husband, if I hadn't cleaned up that closet, I think they'd have read that mail. And I said, I can guarantee they would have. Because you weren't with me the time when they read mine, and I said, ooh, I should have made sure before I went in. God, He knows what you need.
Yes.
And in prayer life, in communicating with Him, He will move the mountains, change the atmosphere, and put you in a position of knowing and have His knowledge and His wisdom, have the mind of Christ. Yes. That's done through the house of prayer.
That's right.
Turn yourself into a house of prayer. Start saying it. Hey, I'm a house of prayer. I am a house of prayer.
Yes.
The God, the living God, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And I take time and I pray with Him. And I converse with Him. I journal with Him. I do devotions with Him. And I get feedback. And I thank Him. Oh, I thank Him for cleaning me up. I'll probably have to pray all the way across the Great Atlantic going home. All this food I'm not supposed to be eating. Yeah, you're about 10 pounds heavier. Yeah, I'm gonna read your mail. I said, that's physical. Do something spiritual. No go. I bet you. Oh, man. You're right. I had fish and chips at least twice. Now, I'm being silly and simplistic about it, but you're not to be beat up over this.
Mm-hmm.
This is instruction that will make your life change.
Amen. Yes,
this is good word. Good instruction that will give you the things you need of God, so that when you walk the walk, you can talk the talk. And you got it going on, because God's got your front, He's got your back, He's beside you. And He will not let you fail. I'm telling you, He'll take your very worst at sharing Jesus, and He'll use it to the
best. That's right. Amen. That's it.
You can't mess up sharing Jesus. Try. Really get back out and try it. And if you feel like you have, look in the mirror and go, now, is that God making you feel like that or me? And you look in the mirror and you want him to, you'll know it's you. You're in the way. Get out of the way. Go on. We got to get out of the way. Our feelings don't have anything to do with the righteousness of God who liveth and dwelleth in us.
Amen. That's right.
If it were based on feelings, oh man, I'm not going to say where that would lead us. Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus declares this and cleans out the temple, bookending his own personal ministry. Friends, there's power in that. If he himself did that, he was knowing that he wasn't just doing it for the time and the moment it happened, but he was telling me, Pastor, and you, and you, and you, 2,000 years down the road, this will still be a battle. Because Satan's come to cut you off, conquered by divide. If he can cut off your prayer life, if he can cut off your communication with the king, many a battle in the natural and in the spiritual have been defeated because communication was cut off. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You get this for free. The Holy Spirit's given me this. But you need to start really looking, because communication among people in this island, people are awful quick to judge. Awful quick. I hear it in the streets. People, or you'll tell it in attitude. Won't you, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Be talking to somebody, everything's going along real good. And you happen to mention somebody's name, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're just like, this is really going good. You know, I'm enjoying this fellowship. And you mention somebody's name, and it's like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Hey, see you after a while. See you later. Good day. What's with that? What's with that? What's happened? What happened there? You have to ask yourself, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. There's bad blood. And I'm praying through their circumstance. Their house and their prayers got some cobwebs in it. You see, they're digging up. The minute you mention a name, a problem comes up inside them. And the minute that does, they're blinded from communicating with you. Don't be that person. Come on. Vow. I am not going to be that person. Dear Lord Jesus, help me be forgiving in your love and through prayer of forgiveness. Remember the message I brought? You think you're stuck? Forgiveness. You can't have the favor and the fervor and the fire if you're going to be unforgiving. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You're going to be stuck. You need to get out of the bog. I mean, you need Pete, but you don't need to get stuck out there and have to leave your truck. Hello. Hello. Rubber boots still back there, and you're walking home barefoot. Come on. That suction will take them right off.
That's right.
So we see very clearly in this circumstance, and I'm going to leave it at that, to have fervor, you've got to know and hear and communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. Here's your third patty. We're going to cover fire. But we're not going to cover fire the way you think we would. I mean, I've got all kind of messages on fire. I could get into Acts and we could set this place ablaze and the whole town and go, but it's not burning down, it's just on fire. Well, we want that, but we're not ready yet. You hear me? Because we need to deal with the personal fires. We need to see this on a personal level. You're not going to enjoy the great corporate level until you're in favor, love of each other, brothers and sisters. To the fervor, because you pray, a family that prays together stays together. Are you taking notes?
Mm-hmm.
This is good preaching.
Yeah.
All right. And then you want the fire. You want the Holy Spirit fire. Hey, I'm like the next guy. I like Elijah's method. I want to see fire from heaven, lightning and thundering and clouds and pillars. I want it to shake and rock and roll. I do. I don't deny God knows my heart. But sometimes, like the trip he sent me on here, he immediately, once I got here, he said, remember, Elijah wanted rain, and he had to be happy with a cloud the size of a man's hand. The Lord reminded me, you're here at my birth celebration, Christmas. He said, Brian, I know you want to see the whole hillsides and the whole island and all of Scotland swept at one time. I know I promised you 1 million souls are going to come to Christ. They're coming to Christ. They're coming. I can hear them. I know they're coming. You might as well accept it and get ready because they're coming. It's only a fifth of what you got in your whole nation. Surely you can believe God for a fifth of the souls, 5.4 million people. Why not, I mean? Come on. But you see, he said, I was a little baby in a manger, just a small beginning. Brian, don't be negative. Don't despise small beginnings.
Amen.
I said, yeah, Lord, you're right. You're right. He says, I know I'm right, Brian. It helps me to say you are, okay? And I felt the Lord say, but remember my exit. He said, when I left in the full resurrection glory and power. And he says, it was like an atomic bomb went off when I departed this world. And he says, that power, I left there in the promise of the Comforter, from the Father, and he dwells in you, the Holy Spirit. And he said, you've got to build up to that. You've got to take those steps. You've got to come through favor. You've got to come through that love. You've got to come through that fervor, through a prayer life that's continual. You know, you're tithing not just your money, but 10% of your time. You can easily, I'm telling you, you can easily give 2.4 hours a day to God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, I'm telling you, it's going to wreck all the negative stuff that you've been believing and thinking. You spend 2.4 hours a day, even if it's 5 minutes here or 5 minutes there, praying over food, praying for a friend, going down the highway and praying about work. You can pray under your breath at all times. Hallelujah. I mean, you'll get to where you'll think, oh my goodness, I can't believe I only committed to 2.4 hours. You will. But if you're going to walk with the fire, it takes that. Precept upon precept. Relationship. We're talking relationship. You want the fire? If God gave you all the fire at once, just think of when Moses was on the mountain staring at that ugly bush of flaming and God's glory all over. Just think of he to just, you know, when Moses said, can I see your glory? And just say, God says, no, no man can look upon my glory, man. You'll burn up, Moses. You got no chance. But he says, I tell you what, I'm going to let you hide in the cleft of this rock. And when you do, I'll walk by and I'll let you see. I always think of a, you know, like an F-14, F-50, F-60, the American jets, and they got that afterburner kicks in. Lord, if you let Moses see your afterburner, I want some of that. Hey, he's no respect. You're no respecter of persons. You say it 50-something times. Moses can get some afterburner action. O'Brien wants some afterburner action. Hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. That's all I'm going to tell you. Are you praying? Are you in love? Are you in love? Finally, turn to Luke chapter 20, 24. And we're going to look at an awesome story. This is the third hamburger patty. I've never preached it like this before. I'm really liking this. I think I hear squealing guinea pigs. Lord says, you got them corralled, let them have it. aren't you glad God puts you where he puts you and does corral you once in a while? You'd be in all kind of trouble if you didn't. Well, I can speak for myself. I'd be in all kind of trouble if you didn't. Hallelujah. I'm trying to imagine all the trouble I got out of not being in America during these holidays and being here with you. You know, you kept me out of trouble. I'd be thanking and kissing every one of you. Hallelujah. And so we see here this story. I love this story. It's the road or the walk of Emmaus. We got two gentlemen that have spent time with Jesus. They've been in fervor. They've been in favor. And they've experienced the relationship with God firsthand. And they're walking down the road together. Verse 14 says that they were talking about the things which had happened. They're talking about their experiences with Jesus and the miracles and all the joy they had. You need to remember the joy you have.
Amen. That's right.
You need to call, when you get the blues, you need to call up those things where you had experience. Well, this might look kind of bad right now, but I remember last week, man, that was glorious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, God was there with me, and I heard His voice, and I was obedient, you know. Cling to that. You need that. That's encouragement. You should have it. Your memory's worth something. It's very valuable. God gave it to you for a reason. And it says, though, that they did this in verse 50. It said, it came to pass. I love that. And this too shall come to pass. His promises are going to come to pass. Oh, friend, you need to get this. His promises are going to come to pass. He doesn't. He's not. He's a promise keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't love people and not be a promise keeper. If you're a promise breaker, then you've got a difficulty you need forgiveness for. Get that cleaned up and read. Hey, it's all right. If you've done that, just clean it up. Just say, Lord, forgive me for the past. Give me the strength not to do that anymore. I'm conscious of it. That's a good thing. It's not condemnation.
Right.
Quit receiving instruction from God as condemnation, because He doesn't condemn you for it.
That's right.
He gave His only begotten Son because He what? Loved you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So these guys that had this experience, and it said it come to pass while they were communed together. In other words, they're going along, they're talk, they're saved. Two brethren confiding in one another. I wrote notes in my own Bible. And so they walked about a 7-mile journey on this Emmaus Road. That's what it comes out. We like miles in America. I don't know what that is in kilometers. Good luck. You do your research.
Miles.
All right. I was supposed to be funny. Anyway. So we go on. In verse 15, he says, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus comes close and joins them. I think that's the first most powerful part about this. First of all, we got not just one person, but two Christian persons. And they got a case of the blues. Anybody ever had a case of the blues? Man, they probably write songs about some of my cases of blues. They get out the sax and all the brass in New Orleans could write songs about my blues. They could. And what's nice, though, they're not alone. They're at least together as a pair. They're conversing back and forth. It means they have a relationship. You see, it's important as Christians that we have relationships with one another in love. Love your brother and they love you. And you know that when you share those intimate moments, come on. Friend, you need somebody to share with intimately, not just Jesus in your prayer life, but you need a friend. You know what the definition of Jesus as a friend and what a friend should be to you? You know what that definition is? My father always taught me that a true definition of a friend is someone who knows everything about you and they're still your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
You mean, you know, yeah. You're no saint. I've cleaned you up and I brought you a long way. And you're forgiven. But you need a friend. And a friend that you can trust. See, trust is a valuable part of it.
Yeah.
The Bible says that they're doing this, and all of a sudden, Jesus draws near to them. I've often wondered, if they hadn't had the blues and been sharing the way they were, would Jesus have just kind of come along on the trail like He did? I think they were praying and sharing. Their hearts were broken, what they experienced, what they just witnessed. I believe that they were communing together in that love for one another and the love of the Savior that they knew personally. And they're praying and they're petitioning the heavens And all of a sudden, I said, and all of a sudden, I said, and all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Hello. I'm not having any experiences, Brother Brian. You talk of these things and it sounds almost a little strange. You know, Jesus showing up, talking. You better get over it. Because he does. That's what he does right here. Mm-hmm. His Bible says so, and he has done so, and I testify. Whew, man, has he shown up when I've had the blues. Mm-hmm. Verse 17 says, and he said to him, Jesus speaks to him. You see, he concerns himself enough to inquire. He sees their countenance is fallen. So he says, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? He's saying, I see you got the blues. I see, Jesus said, you got the blues, brothers. You see, Jesus is always looking and waiting to intervene. When you're seeking and praying and you've got a case of the blues, you don't have to go through it alone. Even if you don't have a partner, as these two had each other, he'll find you wherever you're at.
Yeah.
And he'll show up because he cares.
Yeah.
He cares enough to reveal the fact that, what is this? How come you look so upset and hurting? I'm going to leave this island. I'm going home to where I'm from. And whether or not my heritage has really truly been on this very isle or anywhere else here, which I know it has out of it in Ireland and Wales, I'm going back to America because that's where God has me placed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would not be as boisterous as to say for sure I'm coming back because I can't guarantee that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this, I'm leaving one of my pairs of shoes. And I expect him to be here when I come back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say if I was going to be in this body or my new one. I can't make you that promise. But if I can make you this promise. If God sends me or I get called and someone beckons for me and I know God's in it, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here now and I was here before because God put me here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, and just maybe, as I cried my tears this morning, I have a feeling maybe some of you might feel the same way when I leave. But you see these two on the Emmaus Road, they were torn because they encountered the life of the living Word of God,
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Whew. I can only pray and believe and desire for you that if you found anything good out of my life while I've been here, I pray you've seen Jesus.
Yes.
And for my mistakes and my calluses and where I may have bloopered or didn't understand your culture, just forgive me and love me.
Mm-hmm.
And be like Anne. Tell me how I really should behave. I'm not picking on her. I've already accepted her as my sister. I have an older sister like her, and I love her, and I honor her, and I honor what God has done in her life to be that person for me here while I've been here with you. It's not that I love her more or less. I love Pastor, and I love each of you as I spent time with you, you see. And as we're in this moment of exchange and we sense that love, how much greater in our situations of the blues is when Jesus shows up. You see, the fire is kindling, friends. The fire is here. It was here when I arrived. It's even bigger as I leave. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to move in mighty ways. But you must believe. You must find these words and live them and walk in them. You must live in love and favor and praise God every day for it.
Yeah.
You must have a fervor and have a communication line, 1-800-JESUS, and be prayer life as a personal temple and as a corporate level.
That's right.
A family who prays together, stays together. Yeah. But then the fire will come, you see. Because when moments of trial, they're going to come. The Lord tells us there's going to be challenges and things ahead. Loved ones may go on before you. You know, accidents happen to other people on the aisle, which you care about. And the Lord should be giving you supernaturally compassion, even for people that have harm and you don't even know them. You don't have to know them. You know Jesus, and He cares and He weeps over them.
Yeah.
You see, that love, that favor, and that fervor, and that prayer for those people, and from a true Christian person, should boil up inside of you. And in the midst of even a bad situation, I'm telling you, Jesus will show up. And when He does this, the Bible said that He ended up reading and teaching all of the Word, not just a little bit, but all of it. He expanded on the Word to them. Let's slide down. 21 says, we trusted that it had been in which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, to this day, the third day since these things were done. You see, sometimes we get a vision of things that are don't necessarily always line up with what Jesus is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I mean, you know, but there's a time when Jesus shows up and says, here it is. This is what I told you. This is what happened. And see, that's what He does with these. He comes along and He opens the Word of God and He expounds on it and said, this is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Hear me. If you didn't hear me the first time, He's saying, I'm saying it again. Hear me the second time. Sometimes we're hard-headed.
Nah.
Right? God tells you to do something. Well, I'm not sure. You know, we wrestle with it. But we wrestle less when we are in favor, fervor, and the fire will come. Love, prayer, and companionship in Jesus. And so we see here, moving on, Jesus said in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And He goes on and says, and beginning at Moses and all prophets, I mean, He does all the scriptures, it says. Can you imagine? God loves you so much that if you'll go to Him and appeal with your blue situation, that He'll come to you and He'll illuminate. I believe He'll still do all the scriptures. He'll do as much as you try to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you've got to get in it, you see. You can't just leave it dusty on the shelf over here and expect Him to supernaturally do it for you. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to beat you up over it. But if your Bible's got dust on it when you leave for Sunday morning, you've got an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello. Now, moving along, and finally, said they went from there, and they drew into a village, and they went inside, and he also had made as though he would have gone further, Jesus. But they constrained Him in verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. He said, if He went in to tarry with them, He invited them in. You know, Jesus is the door, Revelation 3:20. If He stands at the door and knocks, and they're inviting Him in to the door, and He is the door. Isn't that interesting? They open the door to the door. Must have been an atrium. Huh? And so it goes on that they sat and had meat with Him and took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. You know, we need to understand that our Savior, who is the bread of life, who is the living water, desires to spend time with us and to set and to sup and break bread.
That's
as you partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, He's in that. In remembrance of the moment of His body and of His blood. Hallelujah. But all of your life and all the things you do, meals daily as you pray and ask blessing and pray for others, Jesus is in that, you see. And so we go on, and He says He does this, and then the verse 31, and their eyes were opened. What? And then they knew Him, and he vanished out of their sight. What just happened? What just happened? They sat and they sucked with him. He had already opened all the word to them. And in a split second, when they recognized him as he gave them bread to eat and the cup, what happened? The revelation power.
Amen.
Friends, that's a move that you want to make your own. You need a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And in your most downed hour, we're still to have joy and rejoice, even in the case of the bad blues. Because Jesus is proving to us, he'll come to us in those moments. He'll sup with us. And he'll give us revelation of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand and get that.
Yeah.
Because that's where the fire is.
Yeah.
The fire is in the revelation of God's word to you as a believer. And, you know, life's tough. Things happen. You know, I spent years down and out and body broken and all those things. You know, it wasn't fun. It was horrible. I'm not proud of even my behavior during some of that. I squealed and cried, desired to go home. I don't say that in pride. It's nothing to be proud of. But I'm not going to stand here in front of you and tell you some made up bunch of foo-foo. Okay? It was real. And it was hard. But when I understood and cried out from my depths and my pits, just like Jonah in the belly of a whale, just like every example of everyone who went before me, when we cry out and we believe God to answer, and he does, and he reveals himself and sups with us and comes into us. He is the door. He's the bread. He's the living water. And there he is in that moment. And we reach out and we cling to him. And he's a life changer. He's a promise keeper. He's a sanctifier. He's a justifier. He is righteous. He is holy. And in that, he worketh every good thing in a believer to change them to look like himself, so that the world will know him. So that we can go forth and announce to others of the miracle working hand of God. When you get the blues, praise him. Enter the courts with praise and thanksgiving.
That's right.
He knows your circumstance. Quit talking about it. Quit speaking. This is the year of pay. What you speak is what you're going to harvest. Quit talking about the bad and the blues and the problems. Quit staring at your problem. Take your eyes like these at the sometime. When this man came along with strangers, they weren't really looking at him, even though when he read, I don't believe. It wasn't until they sucked with him. Are you getting that? You see, when they took their eyes off of their problem just long enough, they looked and they saw the door, the one way. They were offered from him the bread of life and living water. And at that moment, they were allowed to see him for who he was. Hallelujah. Friends, in the near future, when things get rough and things get tough and the world is in a fog of problems, get your eyes off the problems and put them back on Jesus. He'll lift you from all those problems. And see, the wonderful thing about this is because he wants to use you to set a precedence for all those that don't have what you have.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to give it away, you see.
Yeah.
He wants others to have what we have. And we should be so abundantly in joy and happiness that we have something we can't contain. We ought to be bursting forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let your light shine.
Yeah.
Let the living water pour out from the belly. You get to see Pastor do it week to week. Start practicing. Follow him. Do what he's doing. Come on. Come on, that's why he's your shepherd. Come on. Pastor, look at me.
I'm awake.
Stick that shepherd's staff of yours right down here in the middle and just stir the pot every week. Huh? Come on. I'm not saying you don't. I'm encouraging you to keep on. Stir the pot, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They want to know that when they come, that what's happened to these two guys here is going to happen for them in their moment of blues. And what you have, what he has to offer week after week, is directly from the King of Kings, directly from the throne room. He's seeking. He's favor. He's in love with the Lord. He's in fervor because he has a prayer life. And he's on fire because God has put him in this place to be that fire, that light of Christ that redeems. He's just a man. Follow him. If he makes a boo-boo, step over that one and keep following. Hello. You're not perfect, Pastor. I wish I could paint that picture. But I'm not either. But thank goodness our Savior is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So these two guys, we're going to bring it to a close. This is that third patty on there. Did you want single, double, or triple cheese? You want onions fried in or on there raw? No onions, though. You're not going to ever work with America. Stay in Scotland. Don't come to the South anyway. We have onion burgers there. Yeah. Oh boy, I found it. They where I'm from, they hear mutton stew, they want to run. Boy, I'll tell you what I've learned is pretty delicious. Hallelujah. We see now, verse 31 says, their eyes were open and they knew him. They knew him. Do you recognize Jesus when he shows up? He didn't reveal himself until it was the moment of revelation through communion.
Yeah.
And once they communed at the table, he revealed to them, their eyes were open.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul, who was Saul, blinded on another road, Damascus, down the dust, had scales, blind, taken to Ananias' house. And I said, I'm laying that guy, he's wicked. He'd be killing all people, man. I'm not going to touch that guy. God says, yes, you will. And I said, you're going to lay hands on him, and he's going to preach the gospel. He's going to be a changed man, so do it. And I said, okay. Then he goes from being Saul to Paul. The scales come off your eyes. You get me? People say, you know, I don't know which way to go, Pastor. I'm struggling with these issues, and I know the Lord says he's a word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, but I'm struggling. I just can't seem to find my path. And I feel I'm really struggling, you see. Get the scales off. The Lord will touch your eyes and open your heart when you commune with him. And when he does, the revelation power of God and his word in your life will come alive. Like a nuclear explosion of his love. And that revelation of that word. Then you notice that you just in fellowship with this other person. You see, God gave them a witness, each other. You know, sometimes it's really nice to have a friend, have a witness. You know, they could both talk about each other before you go to the next verse. They could travel along, go about their businesses. And both share the story like, yeah. We were walking down the road, you know. We were blue and all this happened. But tell it like the other person has got a negative twist. misrepresent their partner on the road, you see, of Emmaus. Friends, Satan's coming, and he comes to toy, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Look, friends, as we're real spirits, do business with the Lord and cleanse yourself of those temptations. Mm-hmm. Because you see, the key here is these two men go on to trust themselves by the remarks they make in the next verse. There's a matter and a form of trust, of fellowship. They know they're more than friends or brothers. They're just absolute family. And have sat at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given them revelation. You need to be a strong body in a hard land. The Lord's giving me that right now. That's from the sermon. This is for you. You need to formulate in the favor, fervor, and fire in such a way that you guys can walk through this climate and the things of the, all that goes on here and be that different. Be different. Be who you are in Christ. Be that who He's called you to be. Don't worry about all the fire. Be strong for one another.
Yeah.
Be there for each other. Pray with each other. Stay with each other. Give compassion to each other. Love each other. Wipe away each other's tears. Be a body. I mean, what would you be without your leg? What would you be without a kidney? What would you be without those only bodily parts? When you look at each other, see the body of Christ. See Jesus. See Jesus in each other. The Lord wants you to take this home today. See Him in each other. Begin to look, not with judgmental eyes, and see the flaws. Man, if you want to, come hang with me in Oklahoma. And I can promise you, in 24 hours, you'll have plenty to talk about in flaws. I'm just like you. But I know at the end of my day, I can go to the Lord and repent and ask for forgiveness and march on and be strengthened and renewed and refreshed and have the hope of the glory. These two men, in verse 32 is the best verse. Mm-hmm. And it says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn with us, within us, while we talked? And He talked with us by the way. And the while He opened to us the Scriptures, did not our heart burn? So you think you want the fire, do you? Huh? You think you want the fire? What is this fire? The fire is something that comes when the Holy Spirit, who dwelleth in you, knows that you have the favorable love for and of God, and you understand it. You walk in it. And when the next step of fervor, when the Holy Spirit recognizes that you'll take time out in your day, a couple seconds here, a couple minutes there, maybe an hour or two there, and feed your spirit in prayer. Pray the Word. Grab open Psalms. Grab open Proverbs. Pray the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fervor. Oh, you won't be able to stop the favor and the fervor if you're in love and you're kindling that prayer life.
Yeah.
Oh, the fire will come, you see. These two men, who did not our hearts burn? Father, right now I pray for these. These who are undoubtedly, Lord, your beloved, here in Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis Harris in Scotland, whom you have chosen. Who you have chosen and are a royal priesthood and have anointed them to walk in your name, to work in places in your name, to represent you on fun trips and fun days and vacations in your name, to to come and go from places of businesses in your name. Change an atmosphere, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You see, friends, you can now understand and have, thank you, Lord, favor, fervor, and fire. But you need to recognize the power and the strength God has given you in that. You need to understand that His heavens are open. He's not blocking you. He's not cutting you off.
Right.
They're open to you. They're open to you. And He's just simply asking you, when you operate like this, you're coming into alignment with the favor, fervor, and fire. And you're in alignment with your life. And you're praying and you're believing. And He's building you up. And the fire takes off. And so now you've got the fire. And in that alignment, you see, under that open heaven, God wants to use you. These men went back, the Bible says, and reported what they'd seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
They exposed their encounter with the living God.
Yeah.
He's alive! He's alive! He wasn't dead. They had the blues. They thought that He was gone and it was all over. But they supped with Him and God gave them revelation. And their hearts did burn when they partook of the Word. And He gave them revelation and He changed their lives. And He used them to change the atmosphere of the world. If these who believed in the beginning had not done what they were asked, if they'd not been obedient, we wouldn't be here today to enjoy it. Who's waiting on you in the future? Who's your downline? Who are the children that need to hear the gospel? Who are your neighbors? Who are the people on this aisle? Who are the people in the mainland? Who are the people back in America, in Canada, and every continent of the world that are waiting on you to take your position and walk among the brethren? Take your rightful place among the brethren and march to the tune of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Burn. Burn, baby, burn. Let the fire of God sweep your land and sweep your people. Let His Spirit sweep this earth. The Lord God in heaven is coming. He's promised. He's coming back.
Hallelujah.
He's coming back. And when He comes back, you see, we're going to be ready.
Yeah.
We're going to be ready.
Yeah.
And we're going to take them with us.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The lost are going to be saved.
Yeah.
In great numbers. And we're not going back without an offering and a tithe of people. Souls. Souls, the Bible says, as if we reached into the flames and pulled them from the fire.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus loves them. He has favor for them. How do I know? Because I have favor and I have the love of God. And He loves me and I love Him and I love these people. And they need to know that God loves them. And that they can see and know the favor in your life, you see. They see that favor. And then they see and hear you praying. It was Daniel who prayed in that lion's den. And many others prayed when they weren't supposed to, told not to, but they went anyway. And God spared them over and over. Because they were witnesses to be the fervor. And so the lost will see your fervor. They'll see your favor. And then they'll see the fire. The Holy Ghost fire. If it weren't so, He wouldn't have had the upper room. Reread Acts. Make it your own. Say, I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to believe God for it. Satan, quit sending doubt. I got news. I'm going to write him a letter. Write Satan a letter. Tell him exactly what God's Word says. Tell him, you don't have the keys to your own kingdom.
Uh-huh.
I got news for you, Satan. You don't even have the keys to your own kingdom. I got news for you. You're defeated.
Yeah.
I got news for you. You're like an old lion. And nobody can hear you hardly roar. And you're missing a lot of teeth. And you got no teeth. And you give meaning to dadgummed it. You see, because the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's still got all his teeth. He can be heard at 14 decibels. And for over 5 miles, when the lion roars, it brings the glorious power of God. So roar like a lion. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He shine His face upon
Hallelujah.
You. May He be gracious unto you and give you shalom peace. I came here in that shalom peace, and I leave this aisle today leaving His peace with you. Hallelujah. Rejoice and stand and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what we're going to do real quick. Can you do this for me, Brother Alistair? We're going to do something unusual. And you're wondrous. You need to give these people a hand. Mm-hmm. You need to thank God. You need to pray. You need to clap your hands and thank them. Tell them right now, thank you for your service and music. They're anointed. Countless times they've led in worship. And the very songs, and a couple of times they're peculiar. I played a song on another night that I hadn't listened to in decades. And come in here the next day after hearing it in the middle of the night because I looked it up, and then they played it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Are they in tune?
Yes.
Say so.
Yeah.
Amen. You need to know it. We're not building up bigger than our God, but we see
yes.
God upon
yes.
you. We see the anointing upon you. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged.
Yes.
You're planted here. You've served here. You've been here long enough. There are crops coming.
Yes.
I tell you, there's
yes.
crops coming.
Yes.
There's revenue coming. There's an answer to your needs and your
yes.
wants and your desires, and God has a plan for you. I'm speaking that over
yes.
you right now. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I can't get on there with my phone. Can anybody bring up YouTube on their phone and find Jason Upton, Never Alone Martin? Can anybody get that? And I'm going to have Brother Alistair play it through the microphone. And we're just going to listen to it. We're just going to praise and worship to it. Because you need to know. I said you need to know. You're never alone. The first week I was here, and I was in the cottage, you see. And I said, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I made it. I'm where you sent me. I went to a couple locations, and all I could pray was, just me, Lord, I'm here. Here I am. I'm where you told me to be on this date. And big things weren't really happening. I'm saying, but Lord, I'm here. And in my moment of the blues a little bit, He gave me the song. I played it for several of you. I'd like to listen to it and be my final thing with this message is to listen to the song. It would bless and honor God, and that He would encourage you in moments that you need His presence. Hallelujah. Are you able, anybody able to find it? We should have prepared, but it didn't. You need it. Did you find it? She's got it. Yes? Jamie's got it. Lord, we just come to you right now as this song get ready to play. And Lord, I just pray for each of these people to encourage them. Lord, thank you for doing all that you've done. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you, Lord. I can't imagine, Lord, what it would have been like had I not come. I don't even want to think about it because I know that I've been and I am where I've been sent and what I'm supposed to do. What an encouragement to me and my heart. But greater than that, Lord, I pray as I leave that these who have heard what you have said through me have received your goodness and the message, and they are encouraged, and that they'll march on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother. Bring it on. Bring it on. Let's just praise the Lord. Technical difficulty. I'm so sorry. can sound like it's amplified. Is your
Sometimes we feel so alone.
Sometimes we feel so lonely.
Sometimes we feel confused.
Even confused.
Sometimes we feel so
Martin Luther King Jr. You can put your name in place of Martin. Insert your own name if you feel need be. Stop preaching, Martin. What you're preaching.
We're going to take your life and your family.
Say, you're going to take your life, we're going to kill you and your family.
After we got off the phone, sat at that table.
Got off the phone, he got with the Lord. Found his fervor. Grew up in the church.
I preached your kingdom and justice all over the earth.
Preached the kingdom and justice all over the earth, even America.
All over America.
God's real.
Right now I'm so afraid and I don't think I've ever heard you.
He's so afraid he wants to hear him say his name.
Say my name.
He wants to hear the Holy Father say the word. Maybe you're here today and you need to hear God say your name. God's people said.
Amen.